All right. This is going to be a very short one as far as the part we're reading, because in between, as I'm reading them, I just sense where to stop. And this one didn't take long because it was the part that is covered doesn't take long to cover it, and it's an important part. So again, we are in chapter 8, and it is called Restoring the Creator-Creature Relationship. You'll just have to forgive me. I keep on stumbling over the way that's worded. Restoring the Creator-Creature Relationship. And this is in, of course, Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. We left off last week with the statement that said, "We owe him every honor that it is in our power to give him. Our everlasting grief lies in giving him anything less." The pursuit of God will embrace the labor of bringing our total personality into conformity to His. And this not just judicially, but actually. I do not here refer to the act of justification by faith in Christ. I speak of a voluntary exalting of God to His proper station over us, and a willing surrender of our whole being to the place of worshipful submission which the creator, creature, circumstance makes proper. The moment we make up our minds that we are going on with this determination to exalt God over all, we step out of the world's parade. We shall find ourselves out of adjustment to the ways of the world, and increasingly so as we make progress in the holy way. We shall acquire a new viewpoint, a new and different psychology, and will be formed within us. A new power will begin to surprise us by its upsurging and its outgoings. Our break with the world will be the direct outcome of our changed relationship to God, or relation to God. For the world of fallen man does not honor God. Millions may call themselves by His name, it is true, and pay some token respect to Him, but a simple test will show how little He is really honored among them. Let the average man be put to the proof on the question of who is above, and his true position will be exposed. Let him be forced into making a choice between God and money, between God and men, between God and personal ambition, God and self, God and human love, and God will take second place every time. Those other things will be exalted above. However the man may protest, the proof is in the choices he makes day after day throughout his life. Be thou exalted is the language of victorious spiritual experience. It is a little key to unlock the door to great treasures of grace. It is central in the life of God in the soul. Let the seeking man reach a place where life and lips join to say continually, "Be thou exalted," and a thousand minor problems will be solved at once. I don't think that there is truer words that have been spoken. Amen. I will say that one more time. I'll read it one more time. It is central in the life of God in the soul. Let the seeking man reach a place where life and lips join to say continuously, "Be thou exalted," and a thousand minor problems will be solved at once. His Christian life ceases to be the complicated thing it has been before, and becomes the very essence of simplicity. By the exercise of his will, he has set his course, and on that course he will stay as if guided by an automatic pilot. If blown off course for a moment by some adverse wind, he will surely return again as by a secret bend of the soul. The hidden motions of the Spirit are working in his favor, and the stars in their courses fight for him. He has met his life problem at its center, and everything else must follow along. Let no one imagine that he will lose anything of human dignity by this voluntary sellout of all to his God. He does not by this degrade himself as man. Rather, he finds his right place of high honor as one made in the image of his Creator. His deep disgrace lay in his moral derangement. his unnatural usurpation of the place of God. His honor will be proved by restoring again that stolen throne. In exalting God over all, he finds his own highest honor upheld. That's where we end today. There's enough just in that little segment that literally you could live a successful Christian life with just that nugget that we read. So our papers are up there. Next, Terry, break into your groups. Please divide into groups and try to divide into groups that are not just the regular same thing over time every time. So give me some feedback from our groups.
I'll talk a little bit about, you know, why we find our busyness and other things to put things before God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is just not wanting to face the responsibility. Among a million other things, then.
What are we seeing as a responsibility?
To do things the way we should be doing.
Okay. So in other words, avoiding things because we, what we perceive is going to be a required change in us.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exalting him, and giving him his exalted due.
Yeah,
in our own hearts and time and life. And yes, our respondability.
We need to grow up and be responsible adults.
Yeah.
Instead of being spoiled rotten children.
What was that, Terry?
So we need to grow up and be responsible adults instead of being spoiled rotten children.
Yes.
If we would be as diligent in our spiritual life as we often try to be in our natural life.
Well, the way we want everybody else to think we are.
Yes.
And,
you know, and to be honest with you, a lot of times when we do it in the natural, it's most of it is because of the fact that that's visible.
Yeah.
And so we're doing it in order to be seen by other people. And, you know, and that's... Jesus addressed that. We've heard about it. I mentioned it several times. But, you know, he asked the question. It's probably one of the strongest questions he ever asked in his entire ministry. How can you possibly believe God when you who seek honor from men?
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
How can you possibly trust in God, you who seek honor from men? It's one of the strongest statements Jesus ever made recorded about his ministry. If you're seeking honor from man, it cuts you off from being to actively trust God in relationship.
I think it's in itself is one more manifestation of what the core is for all of us, and that is it's a self-seeking.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I know it isn't me.
And it's the same is true. You know, how will we really trust God if what we're seeking is more important?
And sometimes it's always, whether it's on the surface or whether it's, you know, kind of hiding underneath the surface, it comes down to not trusting that... we make it about ourselves in that we don't trust that going the Lord's way is going to wind up being as satisfying as what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Which is why James says what he says. He says, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift is coming from God.
Perfect.
Yeah, so don't. And he says that in the context of temptation. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and then enticed. And then, you know, when sin conceives in the heart, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full-blown, gives forth death. Therefore, don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift is coming from God. There's no need to be drawn away, because what you think is good isn't good. You're being deceived.
That goes to the deception thing. I brought up in our group, but it's come to my mind two or three times lately. I think I've shared it with you too, Mark. Deceiving ourselves with empty words.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the rest of it right now. But I guess that's just it. Deceiving ourselves with empty words. Because we say out our mouth, we love God, we exalt God, He's our Lord. But our actions and the things we do don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what it was saying. You know, our lips and our life being in step with one another.
Yeah. When we finally do that. Yeah.
But we are. We're deceiving ourselves and making ourselves think we're good little Christians when in all reality we're not good little Christians because it's not the way we're acting. It's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
But we're deceiving ourselves. And we have to, you know, recognize that we're not doing what we need to be doing in some ways and begin to say what we need to say or what the truth is or really align our heart to trusting that God in us is going to get us there. But we do deceive ourselves.
We do. And clarity begins by asking the Holy Spirit to aid us. Because we're never going to have clarity outside of Him. Clarity is not something that you and I can just manifest when we want to.
That's because we can't see straight.
Well, it's impossible. The only clarity comes from light.
That's right.
And we're not light. He is. So, we can deceive ourselves. We're great at that. But clarity comes from God alone.
But deception is not sight.
No. It was self-sight. So what other things did you guys get? I mean, because it sounded like you had some very good discussion.
Yes.
I was very pleased with some things I was hearing.
Well, I don't know. As we went through, I mean, we kind of revisited where we came from and tried to discover why we don't dig in as hard as we should. Why why isn't we put God way up here and exalt Him the way He should be?
Yeah.
And a lot of it stems from our past experiences, our life experiences, our past church experiences. And it makes, you know, depending on what it is, it could become very difficult to relate. You really know that God is exalted, you know. But it's keeping Him there on a daily basis when the little words, you know, get yacked at your ear. Don't you remember this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it has a tendency to want to draw you away. But as time goes on, you learn to not listen to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, it's still going to creep up on you.
Oh, yeah.
Just like it didn't work last month, is it going to work this month?
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was important, is to realize, you know, that has a major factor in how we worship Him and how close we can be.
I agree. Absolutely. It goes back to finding our identity in Him. Because our what happens in our life, our takeaway from it is really the big deal. She can have all kinds of horrible and good things happen to you, and that's really not the issue. The issue is what did you allow to define you in that circumstance? Everybody's takeaway is going to be different. There are people that have been through situations that make all of ours seem like a cakewalk, and they walked away with a completely different mindset that drew them closer to God. And people who have experienced less than they did walk away with a terrible mindset. So it's really not what happens to us. It's the way we react to it. That's our takeaway. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's like, well, my cousin Cheryl, she uses this a lot in her own analogy.
Mm-hmm.
She says, we were raised in the same house by the same parents, and we're treated exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I choose to exceed, and Lisa chose to be the victim.
Yeah.
And Lisa is still the victim.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Yeah. Absolutely. And then all of that is cured by going to the Lord and allowing Him being the one that defines us. Mm-hmm. And the one who is our value statement. Anything beyond that is going to lead me into deception. Absolutely. Did you guys find, did you guys get to number four or no?
Yeah.
You did? Okay, well, what was it that was the thing that takes things that in the Christian walk is, can be very difficult and makes it simple?
I'm sorry, what? A fixed center. Meaning, okay. Beat out something.
There you go, absolutely. The question was, I was essentially re-asking number four. What is it that can take the Christian walk from being difficult to being simple? And what she said is essentially, be thou exalted.
Okay. Yeah.
When we make, like you were saying earlier, our lips and our lives to, at the same time, agree that God is exalted in our own life, that literally immediately solves, like he said, 1,000 problems, or instantly solved. Mm-hmm. Instead of running around putting out fires, we find ourselves in perfect peace. It really is that simple. It's amazing how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't do that, it is insanely difficult. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We talked to a lot of came back around in different ways about you know, just the day in and day out decisions or choices that we make.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in each of those moments that we make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and trying to have that focus in each moment of the day, you know, be thou exalted. You know, that's the right, you know, our feelings are fickle. What we want to do today is different from what we want to do tomorrow. We're always changing. We're a roller coaster up and down. But if he is that fixed center, that point, that place we continue to come back to do the things that we know to do are right, to do the things we know he's telling us to do the things that we know he's already set up to do, you know, in those moments, keeping that as our focus is mm-hmm. what will keep us in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. No, it's absolutely right. And it could be that that next week, I don't know, we'll just have to see what the Lord leads. We may spend some more time with this part before we go to the last part of the chapter. Because one thing that I think that illustrates this better than anything else is the life of Jesus Christ. Because he was in such a unique position of from eternity being God. And then all of a sudden he found himself, the scripture says, in likeness as a man. And the result of that was he humbled himself. Something he never had to do before. He placed himself under. Now, he always deferred, but that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Humble is place yourself under. Mm-hmm. He never had to place himself under the Father or the Spirit because that would not have been appropriate because they were all equally God.
Mm-hmm.
He would defer to them as though they were more important, as though he was in a position of humility, but he never had to actually assume a position of humility with them because he was always equal God. But when he found himself in form like a man for the first time, he humbled himself. He hupotassoed himself because that's what it is to be a human. And just a little study on that little passage of scripture is so revealing of what it means to be human. And how to restore the creator-creature relationship. I mean, Jesus so perfectly illustrated it in his life. And it's in the one of the reasons why it stands out so clearly is because we know who this guy is. He is creator. He is God. And look what he did when he found himself in fashion like a man. And now I can see what I have to do, right? So we might spend some time with that next week before we go further. I don't know. Maybe not. We'll just see what the Lord says. But oh, you're getting something out of this.
Oh,
I am.
That's good.
I tell you, this is a very, very key chapter. I know I say that a lot with a lot of the chapters, but this one's huge. If you don't restore the proper context for a relationship with God, the rest of it really doesn't even matter. Right? So, and be thou exalted is a great wording for it. I like the way he worded that. Be thou exalted. That's the proper relationship. So.